The coronavirus pandemic has begun. Someday it will end. These are Conversations in the Middle. I'm your host, Zach Parsons, and I'm following up with each of the 12 people we introduced in our first season as they go through this pandemic in their own context and in their own way. If you want to listen to the first episode of this three-part conversation series, you can click the link in the show notes or just find it in your podcast player. With that being said, let's check in. We are back on Friday, April 24th with Kristen Mogavero, and you're in your office this time, it seems. How are you today?
I am doing all right. I'm a little jealous of some of the folks that are working from home, mostly because I wish I had easier access to my refrigerator, which is full of food.
Well, and you know, there's probably folks that would say, no, you don't want that easy access to your refrigerator. Yeah.
I'm sure it goes both ways. No, I'm very fortunate to be able to safely come into the office every day. We have several people working from home and are really reinforced the social distancing. I'm in an office right now. It is not my office. I'm in a completely separate building from where I do my normal daily activities and have been in this building for almost a month now.
Oh, wow. So while we're talking about work and your office, how have things been going in terms of managing contact with employees? I know you're in sales and, you know, this is an industry where there are benefits to have a lot of FaceTime and, you know, relationships with people. So how has that transition been going for you professionally?
It's been really interesting because we feel on the special events side that we've been going through this transition for 2 months now. We're doing everything we can as salespeople and as customer service reps to reach out to customers and just let them know we're here. A lot of our customers don't have any type of income right now. We're checking in with folks to see if they did in fact get the payroll protection plan, if they got any money from that, if they have any planned activities to help with emergency tenting. Trying to spitball with them ideas for how they could use their inventory in a different way. Really just maintaining the relationships is the focus for us right now. We are not calling them to try to sell them anything, which is fine because we normally check in with our customers this time of year because they've already purchased stuff. Right. So normally it's us checking in on wedding season.
You're kind of a business-to-business salesperson, is that correct?
Correct.
So remind some people of some of the industries that have been affected and like the way that the orders were affected that you were sort of experiencing even ahead of maybe on the consumer level.
So one of our production lines is our tents. So that's anything from a 10 by 10 size backyard tent to something huge you would have for a college graduation, like 100 feet wide by 300 feet long. So we service tent rental firms all across the country and some across the world that put on the music festivals, golf tournaments, all of the college graduations, and a lot of the weddings that are now canceled or postponed. Hopefully the majority of them are just postponed.
Right.
And then any type of fairs and festivals that you traditionally have during the summertime. So that's who we sell to. The folks that can actually go and install those tents safely and professionally within their own community for said event. Again, just one of our business models here at Anchor, but that it's a pretty big one. A legacy brand for us doing tents for events. And so that's, it's just been so interesting to see. There's no one that we've talked to that has not been affected.
Right.
Which I would argue is the same across almost every industry, whether it's a positive effect or a negative one. I mean, It's been rough. So. Yeah.
Even businesses that maybe have almost a completely digital sort of transaction have been having to deal with growing pains, maybe of adding additional staff or additional servers or customer support. Like there's different pain points that everybody is feeling. I think you're right. I don't know any industry that's just been completely static throughout this.
And really, whatever we can do as a partner with our customers, hopefully all was not lost, regardless if they were able to get the PPP money, kind of encouraging them to, you know, you should call the hospital in your town, you should call the grocery store, try calling the school if they're doing any type of food pickup. There's ways that you might be able to repurpose your equipment. And if not, just kind of being an ear to listen. We've definitely been that a lot lately.
I'm sure.
But that's also, for us, that's relationship building. And if we can do that during times of need, we're happy to be there for that.
Well, and I can imagine, just kind of knowing your personality, maybe you do or maybe you don't share a lot of your personal life with your customers. Did some of them know about your wedding plans?
They did. I actually received a few texts from folks in late March asking, hey, I know your wedding's coming up in the spring. What's going on? Is everything okay? And I very quickly responded, we've postponed it, but we're still hoping we can do it the way that we had planned initially. And it was just very kind that they reached out. You know, they're worried about how many folks are they going to have to let go that week. And they thought to ask me about my wedding, which kind of just shows you the relationships that are built in our niche industry. Yeah. So no, they definitely were very curious about what I was doing.
Well, it's been encouraging to see, and maybe it's just because we're all looking for silver linings, but it's one of the encouraging things to see has been that sort of transition from a relationship that was maybe mostly business, but the recognition there's a human on the other end of that, and sort of starting out conversations with, you know, how are you doing? Are you okay? That sort of personal check-in before you get down to what maybe would have normally been just a sort of a business call or a business conversation.
Oh, of course. I've been very pleasantly surprised by how many emails I'm receiving from customers that start with, hey, Kristen, how are you doing? How's the anchor team? Are you guys safe and healthy?
Yeah.
Which, you know, that is a very kind thing to say. And I don't think it's inauthentic, those emails that we're getting.
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah. I think that is, that's real. And maybe that's something we can hang on to. If we get to choose what we bring back into the new normal, I say that's a good one to bring back in.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Focusing on people would be optimal.
Well, I know, so we're recording this the Friday after what would have been your first, you know, wedding date.
And yes.
I understand that you had a surprise waiting for you that day. So tell us a little bit about what happened last Saturday.
I actually have two surprises since our last call.
Oh, nice.
The first was, I think we spoke a couple days before April Fool's.
Yes.
I think it was towards the end of March. So that morning of April Fool's, Alex texted me, my fiance, and said, hey, I just heard from our wedding venue. They have actually, the board met, and we are not going to be allowed to have an event there. They're not going to reopen until July 1. I very promptly just went into like scarcity mode and thought, okay, I'll take a PTO day. I'll go to his house and we will figure this out. Stay calm. We're going to be fine. I think when I didn't text back quick enough, he's like, I'm joking. It's April Fool's. But all I was thinking
was this a matter of minutes?
Oh, yeah. I think it probably was. I was sitting at my desk. It was already at work. And I thought, how are we going to do this? Okay. What is the methodical way to handle this new kind of hitch in our plans, for lack of a worse pun? But so on what was our original wedding day on April 18th, my fiance had told me he is a lawyer, a practicing lawyer, and he had said he had a couple of client stuff that he needed to work on that Saturday afternoon. We had plans to pick up some of our favorite takeout and then to just, you know, share a bottle of wine, maybe call some of our friends later on that evening. But he said, you know, if you could just be over at the house by 4 o'clock, this call will be about five, you know, happen at 5 o'clock, and then we'll leave at 6. And so I arrived promptly, I think at 3:45, to make sure I wasn't late, and kind of hung out with our dog Chance. And at 5 o'clock, I started thinking, okay, it's kind of weird that he has a call with a client right now, but whatever. So I walked into the kitchen to get a beer and I saw him kind of leaning over his computer screen, so I couldn't see it. And I thought, well, that's weird. But then again, you know, client confidentiality, fine.
Right.
So I walked back to the couch and he hollers at me that I need to come in and be a witness for something. And I said, okay. So I come in and he has Zoom called everyone of our wedding party and our parents, which was incredible and a total surprise. I had no idea. And I'm kind of surprised that none of my bridesmaids spilled the beans on that. But that was incredibly thoughtful that he did that. He also bought me flowers that day, which was awesome. But really awesome because our wedding party, who hasn't all met each other, got to electronically meet one another and kind of swap stories about Alex and I. And it made the day really special and definitely made us want, you know, we can't wait till everybody can get together. Like,
yeah.
The mood was really positive and, you know, no one made mention of what most people understand as my fear, is that June 26th could roll around and we might still be in a state of, you know, monitoring for social distancing and, you know, wanting to protect the public. But everyone was just really jazzed to meet and wanted to talk more about how much fun the wedding was going to be when it eventually occurred.
Yeah, yeah. It was going to be an outdoor wedding, right?
Correct.
So the weather that day happened to be like perfect. So you, I mean, you yes. nailed that.
Did not go unnoticed that it was a bluebird day, about 60 degrees. But, you know, we'll take another chance on June 26th.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you get to go outside, you know, and take a deep breath and just sort of know that just because it didn't happen, it was really cool to be able to be a part of that Zoom call as well and see everybody getting to know each other, like you said. And so that is just a prelude. And like you said, it built up a lot of anticipation for, you know, the real thing that's coming. So hopefully that just adds to the legend of your wedding at this point. I mean,
I hope so. If we can only aspire to be legendary, yeah, that would be great.
Well, I know we touched on a few of the things that you had to change from 3 weeks ago. Has anything else changed or solidified as we get closer? You said you have a concern about possibly social distancing, maybe not allowing things to be exactly the same size or location. Is anything else sort of firmed up?
Not quite. That's just a fear of mine that as we continue down this road of the lack of a vaccine and not having immediate available testing for anybody that thinks they might have a symptom, we're watching and waiting. Right now we are planning for everything as it is going to happen on June 26th and really hoping that it does. But I think I'm just trying to do a reality check of where the country, if my community's not there, then my wedding just might not look like what I had expected and what Alex and I had hoped for. But that's, in the grand scheme of things, we will still get to get married. It'll just look different. Yeah. So.
Well, and we're still in April, so we've got some time before that all becomes sorted out. I was going to ask you, are there any resources for other brides? Like, you, even though your, you know, situation is unique in some sense, there are lots of people who had weddings planned in April and May and June even. Are you a part of any websites or resources for wedding planners or brides or anything like that?
No, I've seen a lot of stuff locally for folks that are trying to kind of get their vendors in line and figure out if they are able to move the date. Like I said, Alex and I had kind of worked on that singularly to make sure that we could get our vendors on board for a different date. But mostly I've seen the event rental companies and those vendors reaching out to the public saying, if you could still have your events, here's the information that we need and here's our anticipated response time, which I think is very appreciated by anybody trying to plan an event. For the customers that I work with, they're posting as much as possible on their websites. Hey, we still want to have events. We have these dates open in, you know, July, August, September, October to kind of get out in front and remind people that they're there and they're hoping for their business. I'm leaning on my friends. I'm leaning on my wedding planner and Alex and my parents and his parents to kind of help us make sure that we're making timely decisions, make sure that we're communicating well with people. I have not utilized, I know there's available resources out there. They pop up on my Instagram, even for those that are local, but I have not utilized any of those services so far.
So we talked about kind of professionally and then on the wedding side, but then how are you processing this on a personal level? Do you have any friends or family who've been infected or who are maybe on the front lines that you've been concerned about or in contact with?
I have some friends that are nurses, some friends that are doctors here in town. Everybody seems to feel safe that they're being taken care of, that they have the appropriate PPE. I have been very blessed. I don't have anybody close to me that has had a positive case that has resulted in having to go to the hospital. I have had some friends that have had positive cases. They've been able to self-quarantine, stay at home, and recover, which is wonderful to hear. I guess it's more so just concerned for people that might be autoimmune compromised, kind of seeing the disparity between I'll walk into the grocery store and I'll be wearing a face mask. I'll make sure that I'm wiping down my cart. And you see the opposite from some people. And I think that's interesting that in our kind of tight-knit community where we see what's going on, that still there's just different degrees of responding to what the governor's requested. that's just been a surprise to me more so than anything else. But I also know that not everybody has access to masks, not everybody has access to gloves.
True.
But I'm hoping that if continues that the governor really pushes for face masks in public, that Anchor and other places that are building face masks for donations can get those to people that actually do need them, that can't make them or can't obtain them on their own. That's been my only real surprise. Again, this is without me being touched by somebody who's been negatively affected by the virus so far, beyond economic.
Well, as we kind of close out here, tell us a little bit about what your company has kind of been doing to sort of pitch in and, you know, help out locally and even beyond.
Certainly. So Anchor, about at least 4 weeks ago, we decided we would do whatever we could to build masks through a volunteer base here to donate to first responders, health workers, and some other essential service people in the tri-state area. Along with that, we started getting requests for people that just wanted to buy them so that they could keep their company open and maintain a healthy work environment in as far as they were able to with the current situation. And so we also have some subcontractors building masks that we're able to sell. So I've been surprised by how willing people are to just walk up to our front door and ask to, you know, hey, can I have some supplies so I can build masks? I'll donate my time. That has been really awesome to see, almost to a point where it's hard to coordinate because we've had several people walk in unannounced and we don't have the supplies ready for them. So just trying to organize, it's a non-traditional item for us. So trying to figure out all of the, how do we get the raw goods, the people that actually can make them. But we're figuring that out. And there's still a lot of people that both need masks donated and are willing to buy them. So we're doing everything we can with the team members we have here available that can build them to sell, and then with the volunteer corps that we are building to donate.
Awesome. Well, thank you for whatever role you play in that, and you know, the rest of the team and your family that's done that for our community. On behalf of the community, we appreciate that. We appreciate you.
Oh, well, of course, we're just a cog in the wheel. I know there's a lot of other companies out there that are able to build them to both donate and to make. So if people need face masks in the tri-state area, I'm sure that there's a way that Anchor or another company could get those to them.
Yeah, cool. Well, if we have a link for that, we will put it in the show notes here and be able to let people know more about that.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to check in with you again in 3 weeks. Is there anything else that you are hopeful for when we have that final check-in conversation that we can ask you about?
Truthfully, as a bride, I hope that I am done with all of the tasks that our wedding planner is asking us to take care of.
All right.
So that we can just be looking forward to the actual date. And yeah, we're just looking to June right now.
Okay. Well, mid-May, I'll be touching base with you one more time, and I will ask you just that.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Kristen, we'll talk to you soon. Say hi
Sounds
to Alex
good.
For me.
Will do. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Conversations in the Middle is edited and produced by Maria Thomas with support from Steve Berger and Brad Kimmel. You can listen to more conversations at WNIN.org or join the conversation on Facebook or Twitter with the hashtag MiddlePod. I'm Zach Parsons. Stay safe.